All strings or words in A. An AT denotes the complement of Tisch in A. A word wavied generates another word W if W equals of W equals 1 X 2 W 2, and X implies X is a production. The theory of generative grammars classifies them according to the least powerful acceptor that can recognize the languages they generate. Type 0 grammars generate unrestricted languages requiring a universal computer, Turing machine, with unlimited memory. Type 1 grammars generate context-sensitive languages, requiring a linear-bounded automaton with memory proportional to word length. Type 2 grammars generate context-free languages, requiring a push-down automaton with a memory stack in which a fixed number of elements are available at any point. And Type 3 grammars generate regular languages, requiring a finite deterministic automaton with no memory. There is an obvious parallel between the states and state transitions of automata and the strings and productions of a grammar. An automaton processes input strings through its internal states, expressing them in terms of its own internal language. Indeed, a physical automaton in the act of processing an input string can be seen as a dynamic linguistic stratification, incorporating the input language, the mutable programming of the automaton, including assembly and machine code, its hardwired architecture, the nomological language consisting of the laws of physics according to which the hardware functions, and any metaphysical level of language necessary to define and maintain the laws of physics themselves. Since each language in this sequence is expressed in terms of the next one after it, the languages form a descriptive nesting in which the syntax of each distributes over all of those preceding it. The syntax of a language consists of its grammar and the structure of its expressions. That is, a syntax is a compilation of the spatial, structural, and temporal, grammatical, transformational rules of the associated language. Its rules are invariant, general, and distributive with respect to the entire set of expressions comprising the language. This concept is as meaningful for automata as it is for the languages they process, applying to every level of the linguistic stratification just described. For example, where the concept of general covariance expresses the general and distributive nature of the laws of physics, these laws can be regarded as a syntax unto themselves, and so can the more general mathematical laws applying to the various mathematical structures to which the laws of physics implicitly refer. Physics and mathematics are usually viewed not as languages, but as theories. Even though they are necessarily expressed in terms of language, they are usually considered more specific. But like automata, they too meet linguistic criteria. For instance, mathematical theories have syntaxes consisting of axioms and rules of inference, and various derived expressions such as definitions, theorems, and corollaries. More generally, a theory is simply an informational construct that plays a direct, definitive, descriptive, or explanatory role with respect to something that needs to be defined, described, or explained. Because theories consist of recognizable strings of symbols taking the form of statements and equations and obey syntaxes, consisting of axioms, principles, hunches, or rules of thumb, and in fact share their syntaxes with the objects of theorization up to descriptive isomorphism, they are languages. Indeed, the very requisites of theorization, namely perception and cognition, are languages in the sense that they consist of sensory or conceptual expressions and conform to logical and non-logical syntaxes consisting of general rules of structure and operation, including, but not necessarily limited to, the physical structures and dynamics of our brains and nervous systems. Let us quickly review some of the technical details of theoretical languages. A mathematical theory consists of propositions containing basic predicates and functions representing fundamental concepts. For example, set theory is based on the concept of membership. Geometry is strongly dependent on primitive concepts like angle and distance. And elementary arithmetic incorporates the more or less basic concepts of addition, multiplication, and order. The symbols that stand for these concepts, sometimes called non-logical constants, form the signatures of the theory. This signature includes symbols for relations, functions, and individuals, each with an arity or valence. Beyond its signature, a mathematical theory contains variables, pre-assigned symbols denoting objects from a previously specified domain, for individuals represented by symbols like XYZ, logical symbols, logical constants, like et tu, stwo, gules, cuff, thee, and auxiliary technical symbols. An elementary language else, language of the predicate calculus, can be defined as a set of expressions or propositional forms incorporating these logical and non-logical symbols and their syntactic rules. The terms of else are defined as follows. 1. Variables and constants for individuals are terms. 2. If f is an n-ary function symbol and t1, tn are terms, then ft1 tn is a term. 3. A sequence of symbols is a term if it conforms to 1 and 2. The expressions of else are characterized thusly. 1. Where r is an n-ary relation symbol and t1 tn are terms, rt1 is an atomic expression, i.e. an instance of attribution. 2. If a and b are expressions, then so are taler a, b, akb, and ahb. If ax is an expression containing the variable x, but not tx or gadx, then so are xax and txax. 4. A sequence of symbols is an expression only if formed in accordance with 1-3. By nature, the languages of predicate logic are descriptive. Their expressions describe relationships holding within various mathematical structures. It should now be clear that in order to define a theoretical language, one simply creates a syntax for it by extending the syntax of logic to accommodate the spatial and temporal relationships necessarily holding among its non-logical constants under all, or at least most, logical circumstances within the intended scope of the theory. Like the syntax of logic itself, which is a theory of descriptive inclusion or truth, based on the cognitive and perceptual need to distinguish that which is from that which is not. The syntax of a theoretical language is also based on ingredients and imperatives of cognitive and perceptual reality. We have already remarked on the equivalence of automata and languages. The states and state transitions of automata parallel the strings and productions of a grammar. To find the theoretical language describing any class of transducers, we need merely adjoin to the syntax of logic the non-logical descriptors of their transductive structures and processes. The primary transducers of the overall language of science are scientists, and their transductive syntax consists of the syntax of generalized scientific observation and theorization, i.e. perception and cognition. We may therefore partition or stratify this syntax according to the nature of the logical and non-logical elements incorporated in syntactic rules. For example, we might develop four classes corresponding to the fundamental trio space, time and object, a class containing the rules of logic and mathematics, a class consisting of the perceptual qualia, in terms of which we define and extract experience, meaning and utility from perceptual and cognitive reality, and a class accounting for more nebulous feelings and emotions, integral to the determination of utility for qualic relationships, 44. For now, we might as well call these classes STOS, LMS, QPS, and ETS, respectively standing for space-time object syntax, logico-mathematical syntax, qualio-perceptual syntax, and emotelic syntax, along with a high-level interrelationship of these components to the structure of which all or some of them ultimately contribute. Together, these ingredients comprise the human cognitive perceptual syntax, or HCS. As every language user is aware, there is more to language processing than recognition and transduction. There is also communication. The concepts of language and communication are inseparable. Languages are abstract structures through which communication is effected, and communication involves exchange of input and output by language users. Anytime we have a syntax, a set of representative expressions conforming to it, and a set of language processors, we have a language and the possibility of meaningful communication among its processors. Where communication conveys information, and information represents relationships, communication is about more than just the states of communicators. It can carry any information representing any kind of relationship. Accordingly, communicators not only accept and transduce language, but use it to represent to each other their views of the world. The communication paradigm is perfectly general and holds on all scales. It applies not merely on the level of expressions exchanged by communicators, but even on the level of basic status information exchanged by the interactive processing elements of an automaton. That is, language processing itself can be regarded as a form of communication. In order to actualize a language through some form of processing, it must be intersected with a processing system that functions through operational communication among its parts. A universal machine, for example, is a self-communication system, relaying information among its abstract components. Indeed, communication is the very embodiment of the three basic operations of a universal computer, namely read, write, and relocation. The structural and dynamical rules of language processors thus correspond directly to the syntaxes of languages. Both kinds of system evolve by communicative intersection of syntax and state or content. It follows that languages and automata can be treated on a par, and that since automata can be treated as self-communication systems, so can languages. In the technical descriptions of automata and languages outlined above, a certain model of the world is implicit. Automata accept input from the outside world, transform it through their internal states, and sometimes return the result to the outside world when they are finished. Language and information are either inside or outside the automata, and they are inside only part of the time. The rest of the time, the information is presumably either lying around someplace else in the environment or en route from one place to another. But where communication happens on all scales, the distinction between inside and outside is not so clear. The languages communicated among language users and processors, and the languages embodied by users and processors themselves, occupy an overall medium with a unified communicative syntax largely indifferent to the distinction. The laws that govern a system may be reposed in the space that contains its objects, or in the objects themselves. Classical physics reposes everything in space, applying spatial concepts like vectors and tensors to fields outside the objects. However, it is possible to apply a logical transformation which inverts this picture, turning it outside in. This results in a distributed subjectivization, in which everything occurs inside the objects. The objects are simply defined to consistently internalize their interactions, effectively putting every object inside every other one in a generalized way, and thereby placing the contents of space on the same footing as that formerly occupied by the containing space itself. Vectors and tensors then become descriptors of the internal syntactic properties and states of objects. In effect, the universe becomes a self-simulation running inside its own contents. This view, which is complementary to the conventional geometric one, is called transductive algebra. The dual relationship between geometry and transductive algebra is called conspansive duality. In conjunction with other principles, including holology and SCSP lymphocognitive telic reducibility, conspansive duality can afford fresh insight on the nature of reality and the physical world. One simply takes the conventional picture, turns it outside in, puts the two pictures together, and extracts the implications. The relationship of this new picture to the old one is extensional rather than competitive. Embedding the geometric model in a larger and more complete conspansive model, uniting it with its dual model. In any case, all equivalent models are on an equal footing, and the only scientific hypotheses on which doubt could be shed as a result of this extension are those based on the fallacious assumption that the geometric model is the whole story. Introduction to SCSPL. According to the reality principle, the universe is self-contained, and according to infocognitive monism, it regresses to a realm of nil constraint, unbound telesis or UBT, from which it must refine itself. According to the telic principle, which states that the universe must provide itself with the means to do this, it must make and realize its own choice to exist. By reason of its absolute priority, this act of choice is identical to that which is chosen, i.e. the universe itself, and thus reflexive, i.e., existence is everywhere the choice to exist. Accordingly, the universe must adopt a reflexive form in which it can select itself for self-defined existence, with the selection function identical to that which is selected. This means that it must take a certain general or initial form, the MU form, which contains all of the requisites for generating the contents of reality. Due to holology, whereby the self-contained universe has nothing but itself of which to consist, this form is self-distributed. One might at first be tempted to object that there is no reason to believe that the universe does not simply exist, and thus that self-selection is unnecessary. However, this is not a valid position. First, it involves a more or less subtle appeal to something external to the universe, namely a prior external informational medium or syntax of existence. If such a syntax were sufficiently relevant to this reality, i.e. sufficiently real, to support its existence, then it would be analytically included in reality, as defined up to perceptual relevance. Second, active self-selection is indeed necessary, for existence is not merely a state, but a process. The universe must internally distinguish that which it is from that which it is not, and passivity is ruled out because it would again imply the involvement of a complementary active principle of external origin. By the principle of linguistic reducibility, reality is a language. Because it is self-contained with respect to processing as well as configuration, it is a self-configuring self-processing language, or SCSPL, whose general spatiotemporal structure is holologically replicated everywhere within it as self-transductive syntax. This reduces the generative phase of reality, including physical cosmogony, to the generative grammar of SCSPL. This reality generative grammar is called Gong grammar, and the MU form, being the most general or prior form of reality, is its basis. By the principle of infocognitive monism and the hology of MU, SCSPL consists of MU-configured infocognition, and Gog grammar describes the generation and transformation of this universal constituent. SCSPL is not an ordinary language, and Gog grammar is not an ordinary generative grammar. The reasons come down to the inherent limitations of computational language theory. In standard computation theory, a language consists of the set of strings accepted by a given automaton or class of automata. E.g., a language L is called regular if there is a finite state automaton that accepts it. However, this approach is inadequate for SCSPL. First, it centers on computation, a general type of information from processing associated with an abstract automaton, the Turing machine or universal computer, that could never have generated the informational structure of the real universe. Being an informational and meta-informational syntactic construct, the universal computer can itself account for the genesis of neither syntax nor information. Second, unlike ordinary languages, the reality language cannot rely on an external mind or automaton or pre-existing hardware substrate for recognition and processing. Since any processor real enough to recognize and process reality is necessarily a part of reality, the language processor distinction is without ontological force. Thus, while ordinary discrete models of reality rely heavily on the language processor distinction, SCSPL incurs no such debt. For example, cellular automaton models typically distinguish between a spatial array, the informational objects existing therein, and the distributed set of temporal state transition rules by which the array and its contents are regulated. In contrast, SCSPL regards language and processor as aspects of an underlying infocognitive unity. By conspansive ectomorphism-endomorphism duality, SCSPL objects contain space and time in as real a sense as that in which space-time contains the objects, resulting in a partial identification of space, time, and matter. SCSPL is more than a reflexive programming language endowed with the capacity for computational self-execution. It is a proto-computational entity capable of telic recursion, and thus of generating its own informational and syntactic structure and dynamics, whereas ordinary computational models are informational and syntactic in character. The proto-computational nature of SCSPL requires a generalization of information and syntax. With respect to the origin or ultimate nature of perceptual reality, explanation is a reductive-inductive process that regressively unbinds constraints in order to lay bare those of highest priority and generality. This process eventually leads to the most basic intelligible descriptor that can be formulated, beyond which lies only the unintelligible. This marks the transition from information and syntax to a convergent reductive generalization, telesis. This points to a universal property of language. It is dynamic. While it is often conveniently assumed that languages are timeless Platonic ideals that waft around waiting to be processed by external acceptors, they can be treated in terms of static information only by users or processors that provide them with an external transductive syntax, and only then by neglecting certain underlying necessities. For example, to physically realize the informational structure of a language in a printed or electronic medium, it must be expressed in terms of physical particles that dynamically recognize each other's locations to the extent required to maintain the spatial relationships comprising its informational structure. This is a general requirement, extending from the physical and concrete to the mathematical and abstract. Thus, Languages are ultimately self-processing. They must either